Behuda Nisam asked me to discuss last night the Sunya of Nadu Babil. So, and Mesavim, the Godel, both in height, Godel, both in terms of Behuda Nisam. I know him before all of you. So that's why I say what I say. If you look in Perek Yud, Pasha Shmini, I want to read the Psukim. The Torah, of course, describes here Pasha Shmini, the Chanukah Samishkan, and the Korbanos that were offered as a prelude to the Chanukah Samishkan. This Pasha has many, many components to it, including Perites, Pasuk, Chav Beis, Chav Gimel. And this is one of the Kuras of Bichas Kohanim, Seis Kapayim, both for the Gemara and Seita and elsewhere. And then the Torah has the following. I want to start with pasuk, the last pasuk in Perek Tes. Torah says, "Vateitzei eish melefnei Hashem, v'tuchal al ha'mizbeach esa olah v'yesa chalavim, v'yav kolam v'yaronu, v'yipla al p'neihem." So here we have an unbelievable gilui shechina, the eish that comes down min hashamayim and consumes the karbanos. And the reaction, of course, is when Chal Yisrael witnessed such a Gilu Shechina by Yaronim, where the Targum translates the Shabbachu, Shevach Hodo at Hashem Yisbarach. And then, on the heels of that, the Torah describes the tragedy, what happened with Nadav Avihu. Vayichu b'nei Aaron, Nadav Avihu ish machtaso, vayitnu b'en eish. Now, there's a contrast here, Chazal, and the task. There's a rather lengthy discussion in Medrash. I apologize, I xeroxed it, but I forgot to bring it because I, as I said, didn't get to my house from Yerushalayim. So I'll read a Kleyokar, and the Kleyokar has a long list of potential different possible chatoyim that they committed. But when you read the Psukim, which is Kedai first, again, the term "lefnei Hashem" is a very significant term here because we're in the presence of the Shechina. This entire event, as we saw from Pasuk Abdalid, but the Torah, when it identifies a particular chet, the Torah says very clearly, "Vayakrivu lefnei Hashem eish zara asher lo tziva osa." And yet, when one examines the Mamre Chazal quoted by the Kliyoka, here I'll just read you a rather lengthy list. What exactly was the chet of Nadav Avihu? So he writes, "B'mahus chet ze rabu adeos." Number one, they entered the Beis Hamikdash in a state of intoxication. How do we know that? From the juxtaposition, looking pasuk A, right after this, the Torah actually legislates against the kohen doing the avoda in a state of shichus. Yai b'shechol al teish nato b'anecha itoch levachim alo moi v'lo samusu kukas olam v'doro seichem. And Rashi right away notes this halacha. So this is juxtaposed to the story of Nadav Avihu, because kanevea they entered the Beis Hamikdash in a state of shichus. Now, do we have any indication in the text of the psukim that this is what happened? Again, we only have really Pasuk Aleph, Perek Yud. And the Torah seemingly does not, at least directly, mention that particular thing. Next, Ayidei shenichnesu b'lo rechitzas yadayim, raglayim. The halach is when you enter the Beis Hamikdash, those are psukim that are found in Kisisa, that whenever you enter the Mishkan, the Mikdash, you have to do, you have to wash rechitzas yadayim, raglayim. Again, that does not seem to be at all merumas in the text. Beyond that, they weren't wearing all the begodim that the kain has to wear. Kain edim wears four begodim, kain gadol wears shmeini begodim. Continuing,
what could they have possibly been missing?
The meal. That's, I think, what Chazal said. That's what says in Yalkut Shemayim. Beyond that,
that's quite
gadol. No, no, the four basically the four basic kelim of the Kohen Hedyot are
Ksoines,
Misnefes, Avneh. Correct, you're all right. I think Jabil. I believe that's what it says in Yalkut. I don't have to look it up again, I don't recall. Beyond that, the Medrash says the Yalkut that's quoted by the Klei Yochar, Ashul Nosim Noshim, they didn't get married. Wow. Beyond that, Ashul Oilam Bonim, they didn't have children. I think we're holding by number six. The Yeshomrim, Al Shahur, Aloha, Bifnei Moshe Rabba. They pass in the Shana, that's already Yaduam. And that already has a basis over here in the text, in the Psukim that follow, where the Torah describes the Isser of the Kohen working, doing the Avodah in a state of intoxication, because the pasuk says in Yudalov, Ulahoros, as B'nai Yisrael, Skalahundi Rashadibra, Asher Alev, Yad Moshe, but still, only Beremes, you see actually this reasoning as well. He goes further to the Yaakov. This is also a famous Chazal, which is an astounding Chazal. They were walking together. The Omrim Masa Yamusa Shneis Kedem Halalu Vani Vato Nani Xro Alatzibur. Don't employ it. When are these two? Let's be polite. Elderly gentlemen going to depart from the scene, and you and I will be able to occupy positions of leadership over the tzibur. So I'm not going to read any further because there's a longer list than what I just decided to do. This is just the list going about Koyaka, the Yalkut Shemaini. There are other Tamim that are given as well.
Right. Not only did they not have children, but it says something about their seed. You know, they wasted their seed.
Yeah, that's also one of the deos quoted in the Yalkut. I decided not to mention that one.
I'm sorry.
It's Meseid Gabor. You are citing from the Yalkut, which is, again, but all of these Ramesha are not really merumas in the text of the Chumash. What does the text say? By Akril of the Hashem, Eis Zorah, Asher Lo Tzibosa. I want to focus on that, but I want to focus really on two things. Number one, why were they punished so swiftly? And number two, what was the Avera? What was the Chet? We just listed a litany of Chatoyim, but we mentioned they don't seem to be merumas in the text of the Chumash itself. So I hear from Rabbi Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal a number of times that we know that one of the attributes of Hashem is Barach, that he is Marich Af. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam, especially with ordinary human beings, Hashem is slow to anger. He doesn't become angry quickly. And this, of course, this Midah Rachamim is critical. It allows us to do tshuva. But when Hashem employs the Midah Sadin or Midah Sa'emes, then he meets our punishment in a very swift kind of way. Just to give you a few examples, in Shmos, in Paraklamet Beis, I think that's where it is, in Kisiso, since you have a Chumash, you can actually see it in front of you. So in Shmos Lamet Beis, this is in the wake, of course, of the Cheder Egel, Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Ro'isi Yisrael Hazeh, V'hineh Am Kshei Ro'u, that this nation is essentially their stiff neck. Leave me alone, because my anger is clearly hot against them. And from you, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll make a great nation. So this language of leave me alone implies that Hashem would punish the people after the departure of Moshe Rabbeinu. So somehow there's a kind of peaceful path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left for Moshe Rabbeinu to intercede on their behalf. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu, as the great manik of Klal Yisrael, the Rai Mehemna, seizes that opening, providing the Klal Yisrael the opportunity to do tshuva by Echal Moshe as Menei Hashem Elokav. Right away, Moshe Rabbeinu leaps into action. On the other hand, we see also elsewhere, in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, in Perek Dalet, Perek Dalet of Shmos, where Moshe Rabbeinu fails to circumcise his second son Gershom, and here Sukim Yutes and Chavalev and Chavdalev, Hashem tells him, "Lech shuv Mitzrayim ki mesu kol anoshim avrakshim esav shecha." Go return to Egypt, because those who sought your life are no longer living. And b'letcha l'shuv Mitzrayim areikol amosev shesavim yadecha. Vayi baderech ma'malon, on the way in the inn by kishay Hashem, vayi baki shamiso. Hashem wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. Before Hashem commanded Moshe to appear before Paro to demand the release of Klal Yisrael, Moshe was, if you will, la'avdil, ordinary person. While that was still true, so Hashem was slow to anger. The moment that Moshe takes up the rod and becomes the leader of Klal Yisrael, he becomes a charismatic manik. Now, failure to comply with a divine command is an offense subject to immediate punishment. Now, the distinction between a regular person and someone of great stature like Moshe Rabbeinu, and that Chazal we're familiar with, I'm going to get to it momentarily in Kantanot of Abiyu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu midaktik im ha-tzadikim kikut ha-sayru, the Gemara says. When it comes to tzadikim, Hashem is very midaktik with them. And if you look, for example, and this also, I think, would be very illustrative of this point that we're making right now. In the Haftarah of Pasha Shemini, also a very well-known Haftarah, Uzzah ben Aminadab takes a hold of the Aron Kodesh, contains the Luchos, and the Novi tells us, Vayichav Hashem be'Uzzah, Vayakei Shom ve'Elohim al Hashal, Vayom Hashom ma'ud Elohim. Wow. Immediate punishment, immediate retribution. And a similar event occurred here with the two children of Aaron HaKohen, Nadav Aviv. They perished on the day of the Chanukah Sabilun, the day of the consecration. Had they been ordinary individuals, and Shum Safek, they would have been given a greater opportunity to do tshuva. But because they were prominent, and as the Torah describes, they're not prominent, Bikrovai HaKodesh, they were considered to be Mechubadim, Chabibim, the Bnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu. We find Nadav Aviv earlier, earlier in the context of Matan Torah, they appear. So obviously they were individuals of great stature. And because of that, that's what the Torah says over here, that the Ribbono Shel Olam holds them to a higher standard. This is the Yisod in our Hashkofa that we see all the time. Just as an editorial comment, many young Talmidim, I teach very young Talmidim, young both chronologically and other ways as well. So they often ask me, given this kind of hashkafa, why would I want to become a tzaddik? Because being a tzaddik is full of peril. I'm putting myself in a perilous situation. Why would I do that? Let me remain a simple guy, as Rachman Ashura, and I will not be subject to anything. Namely, I can go about my merry way, behave as I wish, and the consequences will not be so horrific. Of course, this is a completely and totally egregious, incorrect hashgafa. We are essentially mandated by Hashem. Part of Avodas Hashem is to essentially le'elo le'elo, to go on an upward trajectory. Of course, there are Sakonis. The greater the person, the greater the hashgacha. That's what over shaded by Penecha. Rambam Nebuchim, Rambam, Adrabba. The ideal is to come to a matzah where a person loses his Bechira Chavshis. Why? Because you're only in one kibun. Rambam writes in Nitzavim, on the pasuk of Umal Hashem Elokecha Zlobabacha Veslam Zarecha. That is the ideal. Namely, Mila Saleh, where there's no Arla, and the person is constrained and compelled to carry out the Rasan Hashem 100%. Al Kidei Kach, the Ramban can say that the Rebbe Shalom Terah tells us, what is our mandate? To come back to the Matzah of other Merishim Kanabachet. That's the ideal. And that's what we should strive for. So even though they would like to have an easier kind of life, quote unquote, put that in quotes, that's not an easier life. On the contrary, that's a Madrega that leads what to be desired. We have to strive, all of us, Kolecha Be'echa Levin Madrigaso, to come to incredible heights. But there's no question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the misbehavior of a person who's ordinary, in contrast to a person who is a Baal Madrega, differently. The actions of people of Baal Madrega are subject to close scrutiny. On the other hand, their ability to connect with Hashem's Baruch is transcendent. It's so much higher, so much greater. The ability to reach incredible heights. I say that Dafka, in the wake of the Petira, of the Goy Letzadik Hador. I heard so many Hespedim this week. I don't even know that the word astounded can be utilized. So beyond my Hasoga was this individual. It can't even be, I think, verbally articulated by a simple person like myself. Yesha. Mikrovei HaKadosh. So clearly, one should strive to be among the Krovim Shashem Yisbarach. On the contrary, we have to try to become Reim, Yedidim, Chaveim Shashem Yisbarach. That's the ideal. So that's the first issue, why the punishment was so swift. Retribution, immediate. But now the more significant question that we began with, what was the nature of the chet of Nadab Avihu? So we mentioned the whole list of the Klei Yokar sites over here. And some of them really indicate something which is
Amish. Watching the new communities, and then I get a vision of the Zionist establishment.
Some of which are Amish astounding, namely the one I mentioned, Masa Yamusu. When are these old men going to die so we can assume leadership? But what does the Pasuk say? So my reading of salvation is that Sal always noted what the Pasuk says. On the day of their installation, investiture, wearing their bigger kuna, they're overcome somehow by ecstasy, by a need to express their emotions. And the Torah that they burnt was identical to that which their father Aaron HaKohen had offered. There's one significant difference. It's saying there with Aaron HaKohen, the Pasuk says, Vayas Aaron. When Rashi comments over there, Melamed Shaloshina, Aaron carried out the Tzivuyim of Hashem Yisbarach down to a T, down to the last minutia, to the last detail. Aaron was carrying out obeying the will of Hashem. Nadab and Avihu, what did they do? They performed an action that Hashem did not command. That's the simple shuto shamikra mentioned over here. So my Rebbe, a number of occasions, he said something which is very fundamental, basic in Hashkafa. I want to share with you. There are two types of religious observance. In Brisk, everything is dialectic. Everything is Tzvei Din. So even in philosophic terminology, you also have here Tzvei Din. There's a religious divine service, Avodas Hashem, which has a certain discipline to it. And then there's something which is, Rav Soloveitchik would constantly speak about this, ceremonial, tekes, tkasim. So a mitzvah, of course, is not just a perfunctory action or divine performance. Undoubtedly, a mitzvah also has to translate itself into experiential terms. The Torah wants us that when we do a mitzvah, we do so with simcha, with great joy. Simcha is the key to everything. That's the pasuk in Kisah we're all familiar with. The Torah tells us the tachacha came about, tachas, asher lo avatas, asher lo kecha v'simcha, v'tum leva, v'ro ko. That's what the Torah censures for Yisrael, for not performing mitzvahs with simcha. And certainly when it comes to Talmud Torah, that's the Avi Nezer, and many others who indicate this very clearly. Simcha is a prerequisite. One must grow in Torah. One has to do so, has to learn with great joy, with great simcha. So when I fast on Yom Kippur, I do so because it's a tzivui Hashem. Pasuk says, "V'nisa v'zashal seichem." However, what's the result of that obedience? The result is ecstatic. The result is an illuminating experience that transforms my personality. And there are two ways to achieve this exalted kind of state. One is what Rav Soloveitchik called the Yiddish way, the Jewish way, and the other is a pagan way. And that's basically what are we obligated to do? To carry out the Ratzon Hashem, the Tzivui Hashem, and that's the word Asher Kiddushan Mitzvah B'Tzivonu. What does that mean? Sab. We perform a mitzvah, we surrender to the will of Hashem. But we have to progress from that surrender to a profound spiritual experience that encompasses our entire being. Tefillah begins as a chiyuv, as an obligatory, compelled kind of act. It has very rigid requirements of time, of location, of behavior. how one should conduct oneself during tefillah. And we're particularly aware of this during the winter. Mr. Brewer has at the very beginning a famous comment. I'm under the covers, under my blankets, cozy, warm, snug, and comfortable. Why would I want to get out, especially to daven b'sikin at this unearthly hour, as we have someone over here, Baruch Hashem. But when the person recognizes the to'aliyot of daven b'sikin, and the way Chazal, the Gemara Brachos, that a smile on one's face the entire day, a sense of unbelievable connection and closeness and kinship with Hashem Yisbarach, the reward of intimate communion with Hashem when I carry out a mitzvah, that's the ultimate result. Now, so it begins with a tzav, with a tzivui, and it ends ideally, optimally, with literally a dveikus in Hashem Yisbarach. I'll use another example. The Gemara says in Kuf Chaf in Psochim that Hakosim Kvar Chayva, mitzvah achilas matzah, alel ha-seder. That's the mitzvah of the Isa. The Gemara there has trying to reconcile two psukim. Shivas yom tekel matzahs. Sheshish yom tekel matzahs. Finally, the Gemara says, Hakosu kvo chayva. There's an obligation to eat matzah on Pesach night. Sometimes people don't necessarily enjoy the eating of matzah. The Gemara says, Bola matzah yotza. Gemara not himself. Bola mora lo yotza. Because mora, you have to have the tam amora. Bora matzah, ken yotza. Even though the chatzil, you need the tam amatzah. That's two Gemaras in Shas, one in case of Mavachim, one in Abim Sochim. But still, Alochi is Yosef in the Yemen. You don't have the Tama Matzah. But anyone who understands what Matzah is all about, someone asked me today, a young man, that he told me he's a Baal Tshuva. His family are not from. He's an outstanding young man. So what do they do on Pesach night? They eat chocolate matzahs. Wow. Chocolate matzahs. Matzah Ashira. To be answered the mitzvah, I'm not allowed to say that. So I discussed with him the sugyim sochim on Lamed Hei. But Nei Peros, Matzah Ashira. Ambo says only for his kingdom and chaylin are allowed to use Matzah Ashira, but he grew up on chocolate matzahs. And he told me, Rosh Hashiva is very tasty. You would enjoy it immensely. His family enjoys it. They look forward to it the whole year. I said, you can have it. Just not allowed to say that. That's not appropriate. Anyway, but I tried to explain to him, eating matzah, even though initially it's a tzav, but ultimately it becomes an act of love for Hashem Yisbarach. Chibur ha-mitzvah. Sfardim, kiss the matzah. I saw it myself a number of times. Just like people kiss the mezuzah, and people kiss other mitzvahs. I'm going to Rav Shapira's atzal. It was the chief rabbi of the state of Israel, Rashid Mekka Zarab. He met a Rav Soloveitchik, but he was the chief rabbi. He came to the United States to say Shiurim and the like. And he met the Rav and he kissed him. So the Rav was taken aback and asked, why did you kiss me? And he said, there's a mitzvah to kiss a senator. So matzah may begin with the tzav, but ultimately becomes an incredible experience. Michlod in Nusa. Representing the Amunah that we have in Hashem is Barach. Yom Kippur begins with total surrender to the will of Hashem, and we're not necessarily overjoyed that we have to fast so many hours, but as we move forward in the day and experience the Avodah and the Tefillah, we move to a joyful catharsis. There's a movement that's basically how does Avodas Hashem consist of? It starts with the Tzivui, and then ultimately we discover the spiritual treasures. And we ascend to heights that are incredible. Literally, there's a Mishnah in Sukkah, the very famous Mishnah. Where is that Mishnah? Amen Ches. The Mishnah actually tells us that, and this is an important Mishnah. We're supposed to remove the furniture from the Sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, in order to demonstrate that the Sukkah is no longer operative. In my Sarab, it mentions that the real Goyim used to make Abdullah. Matzoi, Pesach, and beer. Now, exactly how he acquired the beer, I still haven't figured that out. I don't know how, but they sold back the chametz immediately, and they were able to get beer, something along those lines. Imagine Dr. Kells, I don't otherwise know how to deal with this Maaser Rab. But again, the idea that the Gaon was trying to stress, the sole motivation for not benefiting from chametz on Yom Tov was the Tzav Hashem, the prohibition against having chametz. But obviously, That's not the ideal. That's the basic level. And the ideal level is that one should experience incredible heights of joy and simcha when one is having the matzah. However, there's another approach. And that approach is the, I think I saw as you call it, the pagan approach, which is the very antithesis of the Derech HaTorah. What does that do? That begins with excitement and begins with euphoria and begins with, I grew up in the days of the, I don't know if anyone remembers it, the hippies.
Mm.
Ah, that makes sense.
Remember, you weren't there.
What?
See, if you remember those days, you weren't there.
I don't know.
I remember the days I was not a hippie.
I say that in Hebrew because I missed English. So maybe you'll explain it to me. Please know that. So I'm talking about the days of Timothy Leary. I don't know if you remember any of his names. There were people who essentially were living in a kind of euphoric bubble called Yom Kalaila. Of course, and how did they come about? People, I mean, as my name, we see it. People use drugs, people use alcohol. They want to create this artificial feeling of euphoria, which, of course, to a large extent, masks a person's actual life situation of disappointment and futility. And they use all these artificial means in order to create that. As a matter of fact, my Rebbe used to comment about Korach, that Korach actually also made a mistake. He confused the ceremonial with the Tzav of Hashem. For example, Rashi has a famous Rashi that Korach posed two questions to Moshe Rabbeinu. Question number one was, Talis beged shekula tchelis. I have a beged made of tchelis completely. Is it valid for the mitzvah tzitzis? And secondly, bayis moli svarim. Must you have fixed the mezuzah to his doorpost? So when Moshe Rabbeinu answered yes to both questions, Korach mocked him. Why? Because Korach was focused on the ceremonial aspect of the mitzvah, while ignoring the Tzav Hashem, the Tzivui Hashem, which is the most important aspect. So, in terms of this issue, not just with Korach, but also here, that apparently, seemingly, was the problem that the Torah describes in the context of the Chet and Nodav Aviv.
The Torah keeps on talking in terms of ceremony. Is it different than if you're looking for inspiration that's not...
I'm getting to that. As I'm coming to that issue, that's exactly where I'm headed for. But I would just offer a comment which is actually made by the Ibn Ezra. What's the difference between the Cheder Egel and the Mishkan? Mishkan also has some very, how shall we say, strikingly outlandish kind of things. The answer is, the construction of the Mishkan is at Tzivui Hashem, it's commanded by Hashem and Barach. And the golden calf was not. As a matter of fact, the whole Pashat Pekudei, Kayadua, Kashet Tzivui Hashem is Moshe, again and again and again. So many times recurringly. Each of the Mishkan's construction was accompanied by a Tzav Hashem that conferred Kedusha upon it. Hashem came, the golden calf was an act of idolatry because Hashem had not ordered its construction. David HaMelech wants to express his akras atov to Hashem by building a Beis HaMikdash. He's not permitted to do so. Why not? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam said no. He told Shlomo HaMelech to do it. So, in effect, what was the chet of Nodav Avihu? Pasuk says, Vayakrivu lefnei Hashem eizora asher lo tziva oisa. That's exactly what the Torah says. This is how my Rebbe HaSolvich HaSal understood the pasuk. The divine command and discipline are the only healthy routes to religious aspiration. Any deviation, especially by tzaddikim, is unacceptable and ultimately doomed to failure. Now I'm going to get to the point that Dr. Kalo Shlita raised a moment ago. So this point I'm about to make also...
What's something especially about tzaddikim?
Because I mentioned at the very outset that tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdik itom kichut asayra. They have to be exceptionally careful and they are Avodas Hashem. They can reach incredibly great heights, much greater than the average person. But because of their stature, the Moshe was more medakdik. We showed them all right that the Hashgacha of Hashem's Baruch and the Tzaddik is much greater than the Hashgacha on an average person. That's a W Dua. And it's Kimat all Mishayim Teichon express this idea. But now I want to address the issue that, Dr. Carol Schlitter raised a moment ago, and hopefully I'll be able to articulate it in the proper kind of way. There's another pasuk which I'll use as a matter of fact, that like beginning of Acharemos, something that we're familiar with. First pasuk in Acharemos, Peretz Zayin Vayikra, pasuk Gal, Vayidaber Hashem and Moshe, Acharei Moshe b'nei Aaron. Why? Here the Torah says, "Bekarvasam of Hashem ayamusim." What does that mean? Bekarvasam of Hashem ayamusim means that seemingly, and there's a difficulty in the pasuk. First it says Acharei Moshe after they died, and then Nachamal Bekarvasam of Hashem ayamusim. We showed him Malas Akasha. Why is it repeated twice? So the Medrash again that we just mentioned, the Midrashim that the Koyoka mentioned, all the different Tamim. But the problem is, how is it possible that people of this stature, and Rashi quotes it in our Pasha, the Krovai HaKodesh, they reach such incredible levels of Kedusha? And Rashi actually mentions, if I'm not, Rashi has this in Milken Shmini here. The Lashon of Rashi is very striking. Perek Yud, Pasuk Gimel. Says Rashi, "Bikrovai Hakadosh bibechirai." Next Rashi, "Shehakadosh Baruch Hu said din betzadikim misyore umisale umiskales." Wow. So what was their avera? So the answer is they had a tremendous islavus, a tremendous longing, intense emotions to connect to Hashem is Barach. The Torah says that was the cause of their death. The word karban kayadua means karei, to draw near. So that was their chet. Why? What's wrong with coming close to Hashem is Barach? All of us want to do that. That's the ideal, to be inspired, as mentioned, and to come close to Hashem is Barach. So the answer is that we have to behave in a way that our service will achieve what Chazal called Hispashtus Hagashmius. How do I translate that? Divestment of the corporeal. This is you, Rabbi Shem. You speak English at a high level. So when I reach a level of Hishtakus HaNefesh, of outpouring of the soul, that idea is embedded in the Pasuk of Yecheskel. The Navi says, V'achayos Rotzoi Vashon. Now, what does this mean, Rotzoi Vashon? Rotzoi means to surge forward. I'm inspired, I'm motivated by a love of Hashem, but simultaneously, what does the Torah want us to do? Shov. Namely, withdraw, return, and basically perform the service, the avodah of the neshama in a guf, in this world. The Baal HaTanya writes in the Likutei Amorim, I mentioned that I was there in my life one time to learn the Sefer Tanya. I left the yeshiva that I learned in, maybe I shouldn't mention the name of the yeshiva, Amatzei Shabbos, when I learned many years ago, it's close to half a century, I used to do a lot of things. People wonder, were you ever in the yeshiva? I went once a week to hear the Shurim Rav Shach, that's how, the Shir Klovin. One night I went to hear Anochem Presovitz, actually, he said a Yavamis, I was very interested in that. Now we were, Hashem is learning Yavamis, which is impossible Masechta. Unless I retired from all my jobs. Then one night I went to Yom Chaim Shulevitz, Shmuzin. Had no choice. And then there were a few others along the way. I heard up to you, the Kuk Zatzal, in Merkaz Arab. I even heard a very famous person. I don't know if I should say here, but a very cool crowd. The Chavo Leibowitz. So I was all over the place. I was searching. Baruch, I was searching. So I'll say Shabbos. I left the yeshiva at Chatzais Laila and went to a chayim, Baal HaTanya Meir Shor. And with the Lubavitcher, learned the whole night the Tanya for a year and a half. We finished the entire Tanya. In the morning, we done Basikin. And then they had breakfast of champions, as I call it. I mentioned schnapps and hard boiled eggs. That was the breakfast every
year. Schnapps and what?
Hard boiled eggs. That's what the Chabadikim do. So the Chudi Amaram Tanya, I think it's Perek Vav Vav. He writes that what's the purpose of Hashem creating us to create, in a, how do you say it, Rabbi Hashem? An abode for Hashem Yisbarach in the realm of the mundane. That's what the Baal HaTanya writes. You can't have a complete departure from worldliness, but rather transforming the world itself into an abode for Hashem Yisbarach. So basically, what did another Baviyu do? What they did was characterized by Ratzav, a spiritual love without the subsequent shav, without a return to worldliness. That's the Baviyu. Or to call Rakub Zatzal, is his Lashon. That one should see the chol, but see it from a perspective of kedusha. So one has to rise and become an ish kadosh, but at the same time, try to take that kedusha and infuse the chol with that kedusha. That's why the pasuk says here, "Bekarvoso l'nei Hashem v'yamuso." What was their chet? Bekarvoso. This is found in the mefarshim of Nigla and Fashtesach Kavochemer. In the Mepharshim of Nisla, the Achaim Hakadosh, Al Pei Chassidus, all over the place.
Can that be, Rabbi? Can that be seen that they were full of themselves? That their pride, you know, their self pride, that you know, that in doing what they did.
There are those who contend what you said. I'm extremely careful regarding, I was told.
Rather than being humble, being modest.
Okay, there may have been a bit of a lack of humility and echadami. That seems to be also an element over here that some interpret. I'm very influenced by the rabbeim that I had. They were extremely careful when they spoke about the great tzaddikim that are found in the Torah. But I do hear what you're saying. And there's certainly some truth to what you're saying. A lack of another bit of maybe a guy. You know, they say a Talmud Chacham is allowed to have a Shminish and Shminish. The Gemara says that's what he's allowed to have. A politician only 100% guy. Completely from beginning to end. Okay, that's not what we're supposed to do. Okay, I hear what you're saying. The point I'm trying to make is that Ratzo without Shom is inappropriate. So coming back to Dr. Kal Shlita, this point, no doubt. Inspiration is very good, very chashuv, but at the same time, inspiration cannot be, one cannot be carried away by inspiration to the point where one literally needs this. I'll mention to you what I heard once from like Rabbi Hagoyen of Nissen Albers Zatzal. He said something very fascinating, namely, means even a person who comes close to Hashem is Barach, again, has to recognize that I have to come down from my lofty perch and try to somehow, as I said, infuse this world with that kedusha that I acquired. So he quoted the Gemara Chagiga, a very famous Gemara. I brought Nichnasu the Pardes. There were four individuals who entered the Pardes. So the Gemara says, over there, Ben Azai hitzis v'nifka. Ben Azai gazed, and he expired, he died. Rabbi Akiva, Nichnas b'sholom v'yatzah b'sholom. So the question is, it would seem the sole distinction between Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues is the fact that he returned in peace. There's no distinction as far as the Knesa, the entrance to Paradise. So what does the Gemara say? Nichnas b'shalom, yatzah b'shalom. So my Rebbe said, the pshat is like this. Because Ben Azai, his entrance to the Paradise was Ratzo. And outpouring Yishtach b'sanefesh, without Shav, he did not enter in peace. He entered with just the idea, I'm going to be incredibly inspired and continue to be inspired and continue to be inspired by Akiva. Nichnas b'shalom, or yotze b'shalom, b'gval shenichnas b'shalom. What was his interest, b'chatzila? To come back from that lofty madrega that he achieved. Go ahead. Answer. Ain't you bad. So, okay, so that is what, again, this is also referring to what Avraham said a moment ago, what Avraham Weiss said also, is 100% correct. And that is exactly, maybe some say, al pi achsidus, al yom b'chaleis, al ha-kodesh, knows the point being that all of us are spiritually awakened, hopefully on an ongoing kind of basis, and we're inspired. But at the same time, we have to, because we are neshama and a goof, so we have to have the knowledge that the ratzo has to be united with shav. Oh, I'm coming to that. That's exactly where we're headed for. You know, you can give the shir. So, Baruch Shem Kibamti, Ladaitcho. That's exactly, apparently, what the Klayoka is telling us. Kimat, all the reasons mentioned by the Medrash fit into exactly this yisod, this idea. Namely, not getting married, not having children, and even some of the others.
They're going to die.
Correct, exactly. Masai Abusus came to Malolo and will become the Manhigim, exactly what seems to be the common denominator of all these reasonings that are mentioned by Chazal.
Last question.
You don't have to ask whether you can ask the question. Just ask. Usually here in this shul, they say, can I ask a quick question? I said, no. I only answer slow questions. Go ahead.
Pesuk Yudzayin, Moshe says to Aaron and his sons that are still alive. Medua lo achaltem es hachatas.
But this is the whole parasha. The one we discussed. This needs a
is that connected to this? Or
yes, it is, but wow. It's not connected directly, not directly to the chet of another rabbi. Okay, uh-huh. This needs a separate shiur. Maybe you'll come to shiur on zvachim. I would like to do that, but I don't have too many customers who want to listen to me.
Okay.
Or you go to Rabbi Dov, my son. He's holding in the kotchim much more than I am. But this needs a sugya and zvachim, and needs a very careful examination. One of the most difficult parshas of Chumash. And the needs, okay, let me just end, since there's a diuk that troubles me. I just want to share with you the diuk. I don't know if you agree with this or don't agree with this. You probably are very sure it happens. The pasuk says here, Vayichu b'nei Aaron, nod v'aviyu ishmach tosa. So whenever I see this pasuk, by the way, I think of another pasuk in Chumash where two people did something. Namely, Vayichu b'nei Yaakov, shnei b'nei Yaakov, shimu v'lei. So I'm bothered by the following kasha. Balabatish the kasha. Why there does it say Shnei b'nei Yaakov Shimon v'Levi? And here it says Vayichu b'nei Aaron, another Vavir. You hear what I'm asking?
Why does it say Shnei?
Why not Shnei? That is the
Shnei b'nei, you mean, right?
Well, I mean, there by b'nei Yaakov, as he said correctly, Shnei b'nei Shimon v'Levi, the Torah is the term Shnei. By Allah, later Betach, by Yaakov, when they killed the whole city of Shem. And here the Torah that only says, maybe. It says, Vayichu b'nei Aaron, another Vavir. So the only maskana I can come to is that there, Shimon v'Levi, they were, how would you put it? Ramesha would say this, because he has all the lashonis. They weren't cahoots. Is that the term that he used?
The term cahoots, but...
They worked together. They were partners. Shutfim. Correct. 100%. That's what Yaakov Avinu sentions them. Shimon v'Levi achim.
Ultimately went in opposite directions.
They say that. But here, another Rabbi, the impression I have is they didn't work together. Each one went to bring his own fire and not carry out the Sivu Hashem. Amazing. So I just want to stress the following. I teach young children, young men, should call them children, the young men, 18, 19, 20. They want to be inspired 24/7. I don't have that courage to do so. Maybe once every week, I can provide some inspiration. But 24/7? So I tell them the following. I'll end with this. I don't know much about sports. So I'm really not, otherwise I'm sorry. Even though I grew up in New York, so I should know some more, but I didn't have a TV and some nochapot sauce. And my father, Shalom, didn't think it was such a great thing to follow sports. Still, it's more important to learn. What could I do? So, but I do know a little bit about football. American football, not English football. Here we have, they don't know what I'm talking about. So, in American football, the idea is that there are goalposts. The idea is to get to the goalposts. How do you get to the goalposts? This is not your area. You probably play a different kind of football. Anyway, so the idea is to get to the goalpost. How do you get there? There are two ways to get there. You can throw a long touchdown pass for 80 yards. And most of the time, that touchdown pass, what I gather now, I have to memorize this. Easier to remember, Ramah. But most of the time, it's overthrown, underthrown, deflected, or intercepted. I got it down? Wow. That took me a long time to memorize that. Easy to remember the Maran Zvachim, but to remember this. But there's another way. What's the other way? You grind out the yardage. That's the lesson that they told me. What does it mean? You grind out the yardage? That you have this
5 yards, 6 yards.
Correct. You have this Gesunde fullback, 300-pound hackfleisch, and he's able to take the football.
Refrigerator.
And somehow they find what do they call them? Holes, or whether they are they able to
holes, gaps.
They open up gaps for him and again. And okay, sometimes you make 5 yards as opposed to 10 yards, you don't get to the first down, but eventually you get to that first down. Screen passes, I'm doing well. No, you have these little screen passes and what have you, little by little. So now the question is, which of the two mahalchim? Clearly, the first mahalach is especially to catch the pass, it's near and they get the rest of the kid over there in the stadium. They can't deal with it. Wow. Ooh. Ah. Goinim. Look at their talent. The other way is, shall we say, boring, humdrum, routinized, regimented.
Although sometimes you have a draw play, a guy goes 50 yards.
That is, I imagine, a rare phenomenon. So basically, what I call these two mahalchim, one is called inspiration, and one is called perspiration. Everything is tvedidim. Dialectic. So which is the preferred method? Clearly perspiration. Ain't shum something. But once in a while, we need inspiration. I don't deny that. All of us need to be inspired. So we have inspiration. You see a thesis, and you have a wonderful chat in that thesis, which took you a long time to come to. So right away, you're inspired. Isn't that what inspires people? But it comes primarily through perspiration. So just to be Messiah, there's no question that he was someone whose entire life was founded upon perspiration. And I know that he was also inspired by the Bam Bapah. Correct. Not just that story, which is not necessary. Gershon Edelstein, called him a Baal Nefesh. It's possible to me he was a Baal Ruach HaKadosh. English himself. So that's what people get all excited about. But they don't get excited about his perspiration of 90 years plus in Yigiyah Batera. And that's the way to go. That's the ideal. Of course, we have to be inspired. Ain't shum savek. I think I mentioned already, I heard from, they say the name of the Kotzka. And the Pasuk gets a Matan Torah, Vayaro, Vayanu. Matan Torah! What could be more dramatic than Matan Torah? The Pasuk is saying, Vayam Lumerachom. So the Kotzka said, Vosu Zeh Gezen, the most monumental scene imaginable, Zeh Pishtana for the Vikings. Zeh Geshokel, Vayanu. At the end, and I see this sometimes, people hear this inspiring, whether it's music or some other fantastic kind of presentation, which is beautiful. I'm not against it. No. What happens after that? Hopefully, after that, they are now using that to halavai, be'ez Hashem and barach, go higher and higher. That should be the approach, but it should be an inspiration based on ceremonial, based on just pure ecstatic kind of euphoria. Without landing, without being anchored, that was the issue here. Another Babiu, Alabai, all of us should be, there's Hashem inspired, but that inspiration should be founded upon perspiration. The Yigiyah Batera, but that's how
it's interesting.